What is up? Welcome to Tomahawked 2024. We're here to talk Braves baseball. The season has officially begun as of yesterday for most of the league. The Braves and Phillies, Brewers, and Mets kick it off today, I think. They were canceled yesterday.
Playing the Mets? Braves, Phillies. Who else was playing their first game? Brewers, Mets.
I think that's it. I think everybody else played yesterday.
And yes, that's right. Yep. We're off to a hot start.
What do you mean?
Not we, as in the Braves, like baseball. Mookie Betts has got 2 home runs in 3 games.
Freddie went deep yesterday against the Cardinals.
Mike Trout's got 1 home run in 1 game. He's on pace for 162 home runs this year and 162 RBI.
And 162 losses.
I mean, poor Wash. He's closer to the border now, so probably going to kick back up that cocaine habit.
I would think so, yeah.
To be honest, these days, I don't think L.A.'s cocaine is any better than...
Anywhere else.
It's definitely not better than Texas. Texas gets some of the best cocaine in the fucking country, obviously, because we let fucking people through without even checking anymore. Tyler O'Neill hit a home run on opening day for the 5th consecutive season.
Which I believe is an MLB record.
It is, yes. Yeah. That's wild as hell. Why the fuck did we not sign him?
I'm kind of curious about that myself. I wanted those
biceps. Because he is in... I mean, Kalanick's a good defender as well, and he, like, high ceiling for that kid.
Yeah.
He's 24. I get that part. O'Neill's only 29 or 30.
Tyler O'Neill,
28. And he's fast as fuck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's an elite defender. His arm, eh. But he's a fucking left fielder, so who cares? Well, he's a center fielder, but he would be playing left for us. I don't know, man. That seemed weird. To be honest, I think we could have afforded both of those guys, but it would have been a shame to have one of them sitting a lot.
Yeah, which is how I always kind of feel with our catcher situation.
Yeah.
Because I love both Darno and Murphy a lot. But
yeah, well, here's before we get into the season, let's look at just the...
yesterday's results.
Well, yeah, we can look at yesterday's results, and then we can look at today's lineup for the Braves and Phillies. So first game on the board, Pirates over Marlins. This is one. So today's Pirates Marlins game, I would bet on.
Yeah,
I would bet Marlins today. But I told you yesterday not to, because Heller's pitching was pitching for them, held them in the game long enough for them to come back and eventually win it. The Pirates are not an untalented team. They're super young. And no depth at all, right? So on the right day, when their number one starter's going, they can win.
They can, And I think I most of their guys showed up, I feel like. O'Neill Cruz had a home run. Yeah. Obviously, Heller pitched a good enough game. And, yeah, that was a game I didn't touch yesterday. We were both complaining before we got on mic that we both missed a parlay by one leg yesterday, which was annoying as shit. But that was not one that I felt comfortable putting on there.
We'll get to the one that I lost, and you'll see why I'm so goddamn angry. Same thing with the Blue Jays Rays with Berrios on the mound. Eflin's a good pitcher, but, you know, he's not a number one starter. He's a number three starter, probably.
Yeah.
It might be a long season.
The Rays are weird because more than most teams, look, they might only win 85 games this year because this might be the one year they fart and then like kind of rebuild a little bit and then go win 95 games again next year. But even when the Rays are really good, they're really tough to bet because you just never know. It's kind of easier to predict when some teams are going to put their wins together. And the Rays, I really never have any idea when they're going to stack wins. Now, granted, you're still fine betting them most days in those good years because, you know, they're winning 95 games. So,
But they win. It's the kind of team that wins a lot of games you wouldn't think they would, and then lose games. Sometimes you're like, "What the fuck?" So
I think last year I lost. Their leg of parlays killed me twice in 2 days. They're playing the Royals, who lost like 100 games last year, and they dropped the series to them. And it's just you throw your hands. And I know that's baseball in general, but the Rays are kind of like baseball epitomized in that. They don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Random shit happens.
Not a good team to gamble on for sure. Next up, Blue Jay, or I'm sorry, not next up, but on the other side, Blue Jays did really well. Good opening day for them. I mean, Springer is back to form. He has banged up a little bit recently, but he looks pretty good through spring. And they've got Vlad hitting second, which might seem weird to people, but keep in mind that over the course of the season, each higher batting slot you go into, you get about 34 extra at bats. Mm-hmm. So that's why Bryce Harper should be leading off for the Phillies and not a guy that's going to fucking strike out 200 times and hit 180. I do not understand why they're doing that, frankly.
Is he? I mean, well, we'll get to it.
He walks a lot. I would have I would have him at second or third, maybe fifth.
Yeah,
like Schwarber.
Yeah,
I mean, like Harper, Trey Turner, out of the gate is causing problems for people. Schwarber is out.
My assumption is you might want Turner first.
Bryce Harper's a better hitter than Trey Turner.
You
want your best hitter getting the most at bats, in my opinion.
I think Turner on base is going to get Harper better pitches. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
With the pressure of the fact that Turner can walk to third base.
Maybe, but you've got, you've got Real Muto behind them,
yeah,
and then Schwarber. So, I mean, it's nice like...
And then Castellanos.
Yeah, Castellanos. I mean, they've got Castellanos hitting seventh now. We'll get to that later. But anyways, I don't like... The Blue Jays are going to put up numbers this year,
mm-hmm,
and lose the American League East by 10 or 12 games,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of how they roll.
Blue Jays are the type of team where they're like the middle to above average team where unless an ace is going or they're in a slump or both, I don't feel comfortable betting for someone to beat them, but they're not going to be good. So like I would feel comfortable betting them to beat like the Royals or Nationals or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to be a tough team to gamble on as well. I think.
I kind of expect them to win about 89 games and maybe get the last playoff spot.
It's going to
be
it, right?
Yeah.
Year.
Yeah. It's going to be tough though, because if the Yankees play well at all, if they can stay healthy, that's competition for them. The Rays are going to be competition. And then the West is just better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got three teams over there. Solid.
I will say to the Blue Jays organizational credit, they're willing to make moves. So if they're in the hunt, they'll probably be trying to do something.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Next up, this was on my parlay, Orioles over Angels. I mean, you can take that who's playing.
All day.
And the Orioles have more dudes to call up.
Yeah.
In like a month.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going to get weird over there. I don't know what... Honestly, I don't know what to expect from this team.
With the Angels?
No. The Orioles. Once they have... Once Jackson Holliday comes up, and then there's one other kid that's 20 or 21 that they're going to bring up, and then there's a pitcher that's 22, I think, from college, that are all coming up. Probably they're probably just manipulating the service time right now,
yes,
frankly.
Almost certain.
But it's going to get fucking real.
Yeah.
Like, Jackson Holliday is a goddamn stud. He's a shortstop right now. And they've got Gunnar Henderson at shortstop. I fully expect, and that Urias guy had, he had a pretty decent year last year, I think. Yeah, he had 264, OPS of 700 for third base. My assumption is, as soon as Jackson Holliday's service time kicks in, he's going to short. And fucking Gunnar Henderson's going to third. That's my expectation.
Almost certainly.
And that's going to, I mean, then they'll have Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman, Mountcastle, Santander, Austin Hayes, fucking Cedric Mullins hit a three-run tater last night.
You also might see them rotate them between shortstop and DH. I see they pinch hit for their DH last night, which it's clear they're... what are you calling it? Platooning their DH.
Yeah, yeah. But and the other part of that is that all their best hitters actually play good defense.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad situation.
They're all fucking 22.
Yeah.
They can all move.
But this one, that's an easy one. Interestingly, for the Angels, and I don't know if this is Wash tinkering or what, but Rendon is leading off for them right now. And then Aaron Hicks, who's got some talent. Mike Trout, who left the game for some reason.
Who knows with that man.
After hitting a home run. But this team is, it's hard to even look at this roster, to be honest.
I just, Trout, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Mm.
This poor guy. Yeah. Get out of there, man. Get the fuck out of there. You've done all you can for that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? It's like the line from The Dark Knight Rises. Like, you don't owe these people any more.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway just begging Bruce Wayne to leave Gotham. He's going to carry that nuke out to sea, though.
Well, the problem is, if he leaves, he's going to Philly, probably. So yeah. Let him die in fucking Anaheim.
Yeah.
next up, I stayed away from this one, too, because these teams suck. Tigers and White Sox. These are two of the worst teams in baseball.
I stayed away from it. I was very close to betting it because I love Skubal.
Tigers. I mean, he looked great.
And the White Sox.
And they're terrible.
Are maybe the worst team in baseball.
This might be the worst team I've ever seen, actually.
It's
like, I really think they're going to lose at least 110 games. I'm trying to find a bet on that right now.
The only problem with that assumption is that their schedule is loaded with other mediocre teams.
Yeah, but Kansas City's not as bad as they used to be. No. Minnesota's going to light them up. I mean, the Tigers are not good.
I think the Tigers will float. They'll get near or right at 80 wins.
Yeah, that's probably right. So I mean, this is like the white. If you look up and down the White Sox team, other than Eloy Jimenez and Benintendi, they're all replacement guys.
Yeah,
like they're all platoon guys, essentially. Like Kevin Pillar starting in right field for them. Nicky Lopez is starting at second base. Martin Maldonado is starting a catcher. Mm-hmm. These are all bench players.
The White Sox are a bet against them all year team.
Yeah, pretty much every game you're safe.
Anytime like literally. You see the fucking Astros. In fact, the Braves get them this week, so I will be betting those games.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you see like the Astros, Dodgers, Orioles, Braves, fucking anybody. I mean, I don't know about their other AL Central counterparts because that's kind of they're closer and but like the
anytime they play any other division
yeah
pretty much
you roll.
But to be honest, I don't know that you can't say that about the Angels as well.
I feel the same way.
So Sandoval is their number one, and then Griffin Canning is their number two.
It's bad.
He's a like long reliever. Essentially, like the way he, I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, but the way he pitches, he's got the stuff of somebody that you would have either as your number four or five starter or a long reliever, like a mop up guy. And I think the Angels on any given day, unless their number one guy is pitching, you can pretty much bet against him as well.
Yeah.
Twins, Royals, I did have that one. The Royals are definitely improved from last year, but the Twins are the Twins. They're better,
yeah.
Right? Especially the top two in their rotation, they're going to beat these teams. So I got this one's a pretty easy one. I don't know if you bet this game or not.
That one I didn't, just because I thought maybe opening day would be a little weird.
Here's the thing with the Twins early in the season. Byron Buxton's still on the field.
Yeah, true.
Right? For at least the first month or so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to hit 30 home runs in the first month. So.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you another reason I didn't take it is it was Royals opening day.
Mm. I mean, yeah, Kansas City usually plays well at home too, even when they kind of suck.
Good fans, and there's a little bit of hype around the team because they made some moves. So I was kind of just like, the Twins are fine, but I don't know. I mean, it was a good bet. Obviously, it hit, but that scared me enough away.
Well, the next one was I thought a good bet. But this is why I bet these parlays pretty much every day of the whole season because it's essentially a lottery because you never know what's going to happen. It's like betting on golf. But the man, Yankees at Houston. Houston has Framber Valdez going, who usually carves up the Yankees. He didn't have a bad game, but he didn't go very long either. And also the Houston has. What I don't know what they were ranked, but they've got one of the top bullpens in baseball.
I think they're third.
Yeah, maybe third. Like Phillies were first, and then the Braves after that. Not that means anything.
And by the way, though, I think the Braves and Phillies only top the Astros because of sheer depth, because the Astros' top three in the bullpen is the best in baseball.
Yeah. So that's two things fucked me last night that are completely out of the ordinary, but this is why we love and watch baseball. Montero blew a save, gave up a run.
Yeah.
Then Presley gave up a run and lost the game. And then to save the win, Juan Soto threw somebody out on the base paths.
Which is
like that's like having Nolan Ryan pitch to your child and your child takes it deep. Like, what the fuck, man?
just doesn't fucking happen.
I was so goddamn mad. I was actually, I was just like watching on my phone, and I saw that pop up on like ESPN's the app.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think so. That doesn't sound right. Like, I'm looking at this, and it's not, I don't think so. But what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And the Yankees looked okay. They didn't look bad, but...
Look, they're not a bad team. They'll probably... They should make the playoffs. It would be a disappointment if they did not make the playoffs.
I think low 90s wins for them.
Yeah, tough schedule.
Maybe high 80s because they're in the East, yeah. But they, you know, they'll beat up on the Central like everybody else. Nestor Cortez is a fucking joke. He doesn't belong in baseball. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, he's nothing but a gimmick guy. He's like, he throws confetti in the air and tries to throw the ball through it to get you out. It's fucking stupid, and I hate him so much. And he got rocked yesterday. Well, not rocked. I mean, 4 runs in 5 innings is not good. Next up, Giants at Padres. I didn't bet this one either because...
Coin flip game to me.
It's a coin flip at the top of their rotation. Although, I don't know if you saw that two-seamer Logan Webb threw that had... It ran back across the plate 22 inches on a fucking 95-mile-per-hour sinker. I mean, that's a screwball, basically, right?
Yeah.
But he...
Screwballs don't go 95.
No. He went 6, 2 runs, looked great. Yu Darvish looked great.
One of our old friends popped up for the Giants this game to blow it.
To blow it, who, Jorge Soler?
Luke Jackson.
Oh, God. Oh, he's pitching in baseball still?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
His ERA is now infinity.
Yes.
But
to me, it's always been infinity.
He got 0 outs and gave up 3 runs, which is pretty much on brand for him. And... The Padres, I don't know. We'll see with them. They're 2-1 now. They took some off the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't think this team has an identity or a leader or anything like that.
No, they'll be. I would feel okay betting them on games deep in their rotation when they're on the back end of the rotation. But the top of their rotation and the top of their lineup is good enough that they're going to be a tough team to gamble on as well.
Yeah, their first four hitters are legit. Bogart, Tatis Jr., obviously. Cronenworth is good. Machado is good. I think he got MVP votes last year, right?
I think he did, too.
Like third in MVP voting or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's excellent. So it's a tough team to bet. That's why I stay away from this game, because it's like, I mean, anybody. Like, those are two even teams as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. next up, Cardinals... At Dodgers, I won this one too.
Yeah, no problem.
I like that McCullough's guy. I don't dislike him, I'll say.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a number one starter.
Don't like him on opening day.
Probably a third starter, and this lineup is fucking, well, again, 1 through 5, they're crazy. After that, it's kind of, yeah.
The Dodgers?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
Teoscar Hernandez, James Altman, James Hayward, or Jason Hayward and Gavin Lux. I'm not afraid of it. Those are 4 outs right there if you've got a good bullpen late in the game. And then on the Cardinals side, they've got Goldschmidt and Arenado. And I feel Donovan had a good year last year. Brendan Donovan had a good year. 284, but banged up, right?
Yeah.
Can't stay on the field, so we'll see how it goes for them. The Cardinals... have an outside shot of winning the Central, but I think it's pretty much the Cubs to lose.
You know, I just think there's serious... I'm pretty tuned into the Cardinals because I'm from St. Louis. I think there's serious problems with their pitching staff in terms of... Like, they have guys with talent like Mikolas and stuff like that. Sonny Gray, obviously, who's on the IL to start the year. And I don't even hate Lance Lynn as, like, a bottom-of-the-rotation guy.
All the way at the bottom. Now.
Yeah, but, like... Yadier Molina completely ran that pitching staff for so long that I think the Cardinals lag in modern pitching infrastructure, and I don't think Contreras is...
He's not the game caller. I mean, nobody
right.
is.
But like, he is... I don't think he's much of a game caller in general.
Yeah.
And so I think the Cardinals are going to get rocked a lot, at least early on. Because this pitching staff is... okay, not great. Okay is their ceiling. And then that's if everything's optimized, and it's not. And like the pitching is not optimized for the Cardinals at all. They don't have the sort of back-end intelligence and infrastructure that you want from a major league team right now, and it's going to show. I mean, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, but it's going to fucking show.
Yeah, it'll show all season, to be honest. I mean, they don't have a strikeout guy in their rotation, not one. They don't have one guy that's going to give an easy or easier day for your fucking defense. Nope.
And one of the reasons they finished in last place last year is so their defense used to be the best in the league, and then the shift was banned.
Yeah.
And that made a huge, immediate, huge difference. And
this year, Tyler O'Neill's gone, too, so they lose a huge chunk of their outfield defense. I mean, I don't think Jordan Walker is a fucking physical freak, and he's got a hose, but it's not like having a center fielder that can really do it out there.
He's got a hose, but I think that's the only plus he has on defense.
He reminds me of Jorge Soler. He lumbers around out there a little bit. I mean, he's fast, but not quick, which you need to be quick to be a great defender.
He's not there to play defense anyway.
No, he's there to saw trees down with his bare hands, I think.
Yeah.
He's a guy, the fucking monster. The next up, Nationals at Reds. I took that one too, obviously, because the Nationals are a Triple-A team.
I think the Reds are good. And B, the Nationals are so fucking bad. Nationals are a bet against every day team. Like, unless they're playing the A's or the White Sox, you bet the fucking Nationals. You bet whoever's playing the Nationals.
Yeah. Pretty young team, the Reds. India's young. Benson's young. Encarnacion Strand's young. Candelario is probably the oldest guy in their lineup, I think, at 30.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not necessarily bad. And obviously Ellie De La Cruz, who they have batting sixth right now, that will not last. He'll be batting second by midseason.
Think he still has some strikeout issues that they're trying to cut down on. But I agree. I think he'll move up.
But that was an easy one. Won that one. Cubs at Rangers, I didn't bet.
Because
who knows, right? I mean, those are two pretty good teams. The Rangers are better, but
I believe they came back to win that game.
Yeah, they won 4-3. But nothing crazy or shocking happened in this game. Bellinger walked once, hit a double. He hit it pretty hard, so that's looking good. And then Steele and Eovaldi both look good, as you would expect, but nobody's going. Eovaldi actually went six, which is pretty interesting for the first. These days, I mean, you would have had to yank the guy out back in the day, but they pulled Steele after 67 pitches.
Really?
In like the middle of the fifth inning, which is interesting to me.
That was weird, because it wasn't like he was getting shelled.
No. He was striking out a lot of people, too. But yeah,
I watched a little bit of this game in between the Final Four games, or the March Madness games in the break that was there. And it was pretty much went how I expected.
Yeah, next up, Indians at Oakland A's. Took that one too. Yep. Easy. Shane Bieber against the A's. I mean, the A's are fucking terrible.
No problem. And I the Guardians, Indians, whatever, their rotations can be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I like
it. It'd be even better if they would pick up there's a former pitcher from there that's available right now.
Yeah.
Bieber looked good. The A's, Alex Wood is their opening day starter. That's not a good sign.
No. Bummer. I like him, but
yeah, he's a good dude, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the only person I recognize from the A's lineup is Shea Langeliers, who
a lot of ex-Braves
struggled through our there's probably half of this team are Braves.
Was Langeliers in the Olsen trade?
Probably had to be, or one of them. There's another. What was the other trade?
Because we sent Christian Pache to Oakland as well.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember.
But anyways, good for him. He's 26. He's finally getting a chance to start. He is a very good defensive and catcher and game caller.
Yeah.
So with a rotation that isn't going to be very good, maybe that'll help him. It'll probably help his development a little bit. But, that game was easy to call. This next one, I stayed away from Red Sox Mariners.
This is the leg that fucked me. I was able to – it was the last game. I was able to hedge, thankfully, and not lose any money. But if I was – pissed that this game didn't hit, because every other game I bet was a fucking blowout, but is what it is.
Did you feel good at all when Kenley Jansen came in? Like, oh, I might win this.
that was the only thing that gave me hope. Yeah, fucking Kenley Jansen. Luis Castillo got pushed around a little bit. The Mariners, I think they're going to be good this year. I think they're going to threaten for a playoff spot, but I don't necessarily have a ton of faith in them still. They kind of choked away a playoff spot last year. They're a tough team to bet. Had Luis Castillo not been pitching, I would have stayed away from this game.
Yeah, same. If it were, I don't know, this Brian Bellow has got good stuff. I just didn't know enough about him.
Yeah.
He looked good, but nobody's seen him yet. I don't think anybody on the Mariners had faced him yet. I don't think. Maybe last year, but anyways, I don't think the Red Sox are going to be very good either. and then last from yesterday, Rockies at Diamondbacks, another easy
bet
win
against the Rockies every fucking day.
Yeah, they're bad. I mean, man, Charlie Blackman, Chris Bryant, and then question marks.
It's awful.
I mean, there's some bad teams in baseball right now. And then the Diamondbacks did everything they needed to in the offseason.
Yep.
They kept the players they needed to, kept Gurriel, kept Walker. Bottom of the lineup is not great, but scrappy. I mean, they put some tough at bats up there.
And they've got a great top three in their rotation because they added Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
Did that happen after our show last week? The preview show?
Yeah. It happened like 30 minutes after we went off air.
Yeah.
After we finished recording.
Dude, the Diamondbacks with that top three in the rotation, like, I expect them to be in the playoffs again.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they've got some stalwart veterans on this team, too. I mean, everybody's kind of a playoff veteran now, but Gurriel's been around a while. Eugenio Suarez has been around a while. Christian Walker's been around a while, and they've got scrappy little dickheads like Perdomo. I mean, this is a potential World Series team. Like, no shit. Better than they would have been last year, for sure.
They are a better team than they were last year.
No, I mean, like, literally a better chance of winning the World Series, not just being a better team.
Yeah.
So that's all the games from yesterday. Do some sponsors, and we'll talk about the games today.
Yeah, well, we make these bets on mybookie.com. Go to mybookie.com, use Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. That means you put in $1,000, they will give you a free $1,000 to play with. If you only want to put in $50, they'll toss you an extra $50. They're just going to match what your deposit is, up to $1,000. We bet baseball several times a week. We will drop our picks into the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. I probably bet like one or two parlays a week. It just depends on the pitching matchups. And, you know, sometimes there'll be big parlays, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams. Sometimes if I don't like the matchups, it might just be like 2 or 3 teams, just depending on the day. But yeah, mybookie.com is where we make those picks. Also, March Madness going on. I kind of low-key like both underdogs early on today in the 6 o'clock games. NC State over Marquette and Gonzaga over Purdue. I might lay that because I don't think I'm going to bet today's baseball games. I kind of like Saturday better because Orioles and Angels aren't playing today, and I'd like to have that leg.
Yeah, a couple of freebies.
Yeah, but yeah, either way, mybookie.com is where we do that. And then starting in April, so basically next Friday-ish, I think, me and Delco Dan will be doing a weekly blackjack show. Mybookie.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As a live casino, not like a digital casino where it's like, you know, a game of solitaire on your computer or whatever, like digital cards flipping over. It's a camera on a live dealer at a third-party casino location, and you bet on it. You are playing blackjack through your computer at that table. It's awesome. We used to play it at our old job. It's really fun. So we're going to be doing that through MyBookie. You can join us. I think maybe get on our table or something like that. I have to get the exact details, but you can watch us play live and shoot the shit. It's really fun. They have a really fun casino, the live stuff. So MyBookie.com, double your first deposit up to $1,000 with the promo code DRINKINBROS.
And if you haven't accepted your invite for fantasy baseball, you got to do it. Otherwise, you can go fuck yourself. I'm going to leave the Braves game for last here for today, and we'll go through the other ones. I'm going to parlay today. Blue Jays at Rays, probably not taking that one. Although I think Bassett is the better starter here. But
that's a test. Just a tough game.
It's
to
just
bet.
It's just kind of a. I might bet it straight up just for shits and gigs, but not. I'm not going to put it in parlay. Pirates at Marlins. I am going to take the Marlins in this parlay.
Okay.
I Perez came over from the Rangers. He's starting for Pittsburgh today. He's okay, but he's like a mid four ERA guy. Puck's better. And it's at home. We'll see how it goes.
And this is the type of thing, too. This is what's fun about betting baseball is more so than football and other stuff is it's like, well, do you trust the Pirates to win two games in a row?
Yeah.
At any given point?
Yeah, no.
Right.
The answer is no. And this next one I'm not going to put my parlay either. It's Brewers at Mets. And look, Mets going to Met. Brewers are weakened this year. Freddy Peralta is going for them. This is their first game.
It's two, I think, relatively even teams. The Brewers are better, but they're not good.
No, but I think Quintana is the better pitcher in this matchup. Okay. We'll see how long it goes. I mean, he was in the low threes last year in his ERA, I think. So bet that one at your own peril. Yankees at Astros, Rodon versus Christian Javier. This is a great game.
This is just a game I want to watch.
I'm probably going to watch this game. It's on Apple TV tonight, which kind of sucks. You listen to those assholes. And they're the worst broadcasters of all time. They're terrible.
Horrible. It's a actual travesty that they got to call Pujols 700 home run.
And it doesn't, like, all the StatCast stuff that they have on there is cool, but it doesn't make up for how bad that fucking broadcast is.
Yeah.
But that being said, Houston will win this game, so I'm putting this in. This is my risky parlay. They're not going to lose two in a row to open the season. I do like Rodon, but he starts slow usually. Christian Javier is a very good pitcher. Next up, Red Sox at Mariners. Boy,
that's tight.
This should be pretty easy to pick, but the Mariners have trouble early in the season. But I'm going to add this one as well. I'm taking the Mariners over the Red Sox in this just money line.
Okay.
George Kirby's good. He had a good year last year. Pivetta bounced back and forth between the bullpen and the fucking rotation.
Yeah.
Not too worried about him. I don't think he goes more than three innings. He's probably going to get rocked in this game. Next up, Indians at Oakland A's. Obviously, I'm taking the Indians. I'm betting every day of the year against the A's.
That's not a bad bet.
I don't know any of their players.
I will say I like – he didn't have a good year last year. He was injured for a little bit of it, but I do like Ross Stripling.
Mm.
He's had some good years for the Dodgers and Toronto. I don't know if he still has it, though.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be – even if he makes it five scoreless, it's the A's. They probably will not have scored by then, and they're going to give up runs after. That's my thinking there.
Yeah.
Next up is Rockies at Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks is on my parlay as well.
And by the way, the Rockies are fucking awful, but the Diamondbacks have a great top three in their rotation, and Kelly is part of that. He's their number two starter. That's love that. That's safe as could be, I think.
Yeah, he had. Let me see. I fucking had it somewhere. God damn it. Oh god damn it. I lost it. He had a lot of quality starts last year, like a lot.
Kelly?
Yes.
He's great. I think he was their best pitcher in the postseason because Gallen actually kind of had a weak postseason last year.
Yeah. He definitely had two bad games. But I think Diamondbacks, easy call right there.
Yeah.
And that's the end of my parlay, but we'll go over these other two games. Giants at Padres. Musgrove got teed off on in fucking Korea. But it was the Dodgers, so you know, what are you going to do? This one, I don't bet. But the Giants are favored in this game.
I just don't like this matchup in general.
I'm sorry, the Padres are favored, excuse me.
Yeah, they're the home team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting game to watch because Harrison for the Giants. Now they signed some people, Blake Snell, for example, right?
Right.
And Harrison's still in that number two slot, and he's 22 years old, so they got a lot of faith in this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be an interesting game to watch because the Padres' first four, first five are pretty good hitters. And then Cardinals at Dodgers. I'm not betting this one either.
I don't like that one, but I like the one that I'll give you my picks in a sec. But
the one tomorrow is probably going to be a better game. The Cardinals are throwing out Zach Thompson, who is a reliever most of the year last year.
Yeah.
But
they're a little thin in the rotation because of Sonny Gray's injury.
Yeah. This is probably just I don't know. This might be a fucking bullpen game, although he did start 9 or 10 games last year. They might be considering this a bullpen game, which, you know, can throw off a good hitting team like the Dodgers. So that's the reason I'm not betting it.
That makes sense.
And then we will come back to, well, if you want to give your picks on these.
So I don't
or at least what your parlay. I guess you're not betting a parlay.
I have two parlays for you this week. Though I don't like today's games a ton because you lose two really good legs in the National Reds and at Nats and or Reds over Nats and Angels or Orioles over Angels. I hate not having those legs in there because I love both of them. So Saturday's games, Reds over Nats, D-backs over Rockies. I like the Dodgers over the Cards on Saturday because it's Yamamoto for the Dodgers. I know he got roughed up in his first start. Don't care. And Lance Lynn's fat ass coming back to L.A. for the Cardinals. I think he gets absolutely bombed. Astros over the Yankees. I think the Astros, the three-game series, obviously, I think the Astros are going to win the series. But even if they don't win the series, I don't think they're going to get swept. So I'll take it. And then Orioles over Angels. We've talked enough about how the Angels are fucking nobodies and the Orioles are very good. The Orioles a little deeper into the rotation, so not as big of an advantage as, you know, fucking Corbin Burns being on the mound. But that I like for Saturday. That is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 team parlay. There's some good series in the middle of the week as well. I haven't picked a day yet because all the pitching matchups aren't out. But at some point in the middle of the week, and I'll drop it in Drink Rose Sports, I like Orioles over Royals, Braves over White Sox, Red Sox over A's, Cubs over Rockies, Astros over Blue Jays, Dodgers over Giants. I'm going to look for the right day, depending on pitching and stuff like that. But I like all of those series. I think at some point in the week, all those teams will win on the same day, essentially.
Yeah. That seems like a good bet to me. And then there's some other interesting shit going on too. Mike Soroka had a really good spring.
That's why I don't love Tigers White Sox on that Saturday.
Tomorrow, game. Yeah. Maeda's good too, but that's a weird game.
Yeah.
That's a weird game. I mean, it's two shitty fucking teams, but
I might not just be able to bring myself to bet against Mike Soroka yet.
Yeah.
I might be able to in time, but and look, it's not like the White Sox have any ability to score runs. So
yeah, I mean, they've got a puncher's chance because they'll hit some home runs, but
right. But Soroka could be brilliant. Go out there seven innings, two runs, and lose the fucking game.
Yeah,
that's who the White Sox are.
Yep. Now, as for today's opening day Braves game, I'm liking the look of this. The only guy that really hits Strider well most of the time is Bryce Harper, right? Typically.
Yeah.
Who
hits everyone well, pretty much.
Schwarber doesn't hit him well, strikes out like in about half of his at-bats, a little more than half of his at-bats. Same thing with Realmuto and Bohm. Trey Turner can't hit him. He's like 3 for 20 in his career. Castellanos is low 200s. Brandon Marsh, surprisingly, but he's a contact guy. That's not shocking that he just serves it up.
Well, and like we talk about a lot with Strider, sometimes you just got to put the bat on the ball and let him do the work because he throws it so goddamn hard.
I think that we'll see how it goes now in the regular season, now the regular season started, but I think that curveball to left-handers is going to offset some of that shit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now on the other side, the Braves are running out their a new lineup this year. Although they've used this one before to some degree, I think later in the season last year. So Cunha's leading off, obviously. Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Ozuna, Harris is hitting six now. Murphy's moved down to seven from six. I think they flip-flop those two. And then Arcia, who hit like five home runs in spring.
Yeah, I'm hoping we see first half Orlando Arcia because he kind of fell off a cliff in the second half last year.
Yeah, and then Jarek Lennick, who's never faced Wheeler before, so this might be a tough day for him.
Yeah.
Although he has looked good in the back half of spring. Nobody on the Braves really hits Wheeler consistently, but Acuna hits a lot of home runs off of him.
It's Acuna, Riley, and Olson are all, what, 250 and above?
Yeah.
And everyone else is grim.
Yeah. So this is, I'm not betting this game, but it will be a fun one.
It's going to be a fantastic game. I wanted to ask you about this. What do you think about the prop on Strider's strikeouts? It's 8.5 over under.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah. The odds for 8.5 over is -145. So the book thinks it's going to go over too.
Yeah, of course it is. What about, let's see, let me find that game. There's a bunch of props in this game. Let's see. When will the first run be scored? That's stupid. Race to seven runs. I don't think anybody's scoring seven runs in this game. Race to third. Winning margin. Nope. Oh, where are the player props? Where am I at here? Oh, here we go. Game props. I like, this is a bet that I take sometimes, but it's a coin flip. Odd, even, run total. Right?
Yeah, literal coin flip.
Yeah, but it's like odd is -180 and even is +140.
Yeah.
So I always bet, I'll throw like 10 or 20 bucks on whatever the best odds are, just because who the fuck knows. Where are the, let's see. They've got some alternate lines. I wouldn't fuck around with those for this game. It's too early in the season for that bullshit.
Yeah, and honestly, in general, with baseball, the two things I like to do is just player props and then parlays. Money line. And all the parlays, by the way, money line. We are not doing +1.5, -1.5 on runs. Don't bet that. We are betting money lines all season. That's the way to go. Baseball's unpredictable enough. It's so fucking hard to predict how many runs a team's going to win by. And in baseball, there's no such thing as, I mean, in any sport, there's no such thing as a bad win, kind of. But in football and basketball, you could argue, like, why the fuck did they only win by a touchdown? Why the fuck did they only, whatever. But in baseball, it doesn't matter. Win is a win. So, money lines. All fucking season long.
You can also bet the exact number of strikeouts that someone's going to have.
Okay.
Betting nine on Strider is a good bet. I think he had exactly nine strikeouts in like fucking 13 games last year or something stupid like that. And it's +400 as well, which is a pretty decent.
Well, why don't you do, I would just, if, so first off, so that's interesting too, because the prop is -8.5, or is 8.5, the over under is 8.5 and it's -145. So they think he's going to go over. So I don't know. Why not sprinkle 9, 10, even 11?
Yeah. I mean, $10 on each one of those and you're going to make fucking at least $40, right?
If he hits one of the three, yeah. If you can buy the range, so essentially.
That's,
like,
that's $10.
Yeah.
You can buy bands as well, though, actually. So you can buy 9 to 10. 9 to 10 is +275.
Okay.
So now you're just paying $10 for $27.50 if it goes that way, right, obviously. Right. yeah, so, you know, looking at some of those,
I did just bet the Strider prop, by the way.
Yeah, and then Saturday is another great game. Freed and Nola are going, same lineups probably, unless somebody gets injured. That's going to be a great game too. You know, it's going to be, this will be a fun season, probably frustrating at parts and great at parts, just like every other goddamn baseball season.
Yeah, I am excited. I want to ask you real quick, what are the things you're most interested in seeing early in the season, just in terms of how they shake out or what you want to see, whatever?
I'm really interested in seeing how Harris grows, like being more selective. So he's got a problem with the low and in off speed stuff, misses it every time, swings at it every time. You know, third year development, being able to lay off that pitch. That's something I'm looking for in him, and also more power. Like, I think what I'm hearing out of camp was stronger this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you get more, this people, you don't get stronger as you get older necessarily, but dudes do tend to hit more home runs as they get older. It's because you become more selective, right? Like yeah. you just learn, you know what you're doing. I expect him to have a better launch angle this year. So that'll be fucking cool if he hits a lot of home runs. He's definitely a legit 30-30 guy, I think. And then, you know, for the full season, I'm curious what Acuña is going to do.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be 50-80 or some shit?
Yeah.
Or 50-50 itself?
I wonder if he even runs as much.
Well, now there's this, I don't know if you saw it in spring at all, but there's this fucking new rule where you can't catch the ball. You can't stand anywhere between the runner and the bag and catch the ball and tag him out. Otherwise, it's interference now.
You have to be on the bag?
You have to be on the side of the bag and olay them as they go by.
Oh, they just want running left and right in this game. Yep.
So I it's hard to think he's not going to be. I mean, he's a lunatic, right?
Yeah.
And I'm curious how Kalenic's going to do as well. You know, some time with around these other guys. You know, the Braves have taken guys like Matt Olson, who lots of raw talent, but gaps in the swing, and eliminated those gaps in the swing and took him from all-star to MVP caliber.
Right.
Same thing with Austin Riley from all three stages, from daily player to all-star to MVP caliber. They did it with Michael Harris like 2 weeks after he came up. It was a month. A month in. But completely, they turned that kid into something. And you hear about it all the time over the spring. Of Kalenic getting his swing changed a little bit, little tweaks here and there. Seitzer maybe knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that develops as well.
I will say one thing with Olson to talk about when you talk about getting him to an MVP caliber, what I'm really interested in is I don't necessarily need him to repeat his second half from last year, even though it was over such a long enough time that it seems like he could maybe get close to it. Mm-hmm. But I would love him to split the difference between his first half and his second half. Because I was looking at the numbers, and I remembered he had a better second half than a first half. But first half, you would take it every year. 144 mm-hmm. WRC plus, 29 homers at the half, 926 OPS. Mm-hmm. The only thing you could really complain about Olson's first half last year is that he struck out 27% of the time. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking want that.
Yeah.
His second half, though, I mean, if you can get within 10 points of this, he's the third or fourth best player in the league, no question. 181 WRC plus, OPS over 1,000, 428 on base percentage, dropped his strikeout rate 9 points, and he didn't just pick up all his OPS and WRC plus on just like getting more walks and striking out less. He hit 321, mm-hmm. so he was putting. He was at like action was happening. Like he was putting the ball in play. He was hitting base hits, hitting doubles. If you can get him around a 160, 170 WRC plus,
yeah,
that's what I want. That's the Matt Olson. If he can stay in that arena or even stay at 180, which is you can't ask that of anybody, but
yeah. He's a legit MVP threat this year. There's no question about that. It'll be fun to watch and see how he does. I mean, he's got, as much as I don't like the guy, he's got Ozuna, Harris and Murphy and Arcia behind him.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't just walk the guy. That's one thing that happened with him last year as well. I don't know what his chase rate or any of that shit was. But in the second half, he definitely reduced strikeouts significantly. But you could tell just his approach was so much better. I mean, he had the best year of his career by far last year. I think by like two wins above replacement or maybe three. I don't remember exactly what
finished
it was.
Finished fourth in MVP voting. Yeah.
So, I mean, what Riley finished, what, third in MVP voting?
When
Harper won two years ago,
maybe,
I think.
Something like
I think it was third. So you've got like three legit MVP candidates on this team.
And a Cy Young candidate. And honestly, two Cy Young candidates. Two guys capable of winning a Cy Young.
Yeah, so it's like this is gonna be a big season. And speaking of that, the other thing is to see if Strider can take that next step, become more efficient.
Yep.
Right. If he does, then it's he's going to be a fucking big prize. He's going to be a Roger Clemens style pitcher for some years to come. I mean, it'll be really interesting. Or maybe I say Roger Clemens style because he doesn't throw the ball with movement like somebody like Pedro did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's not 8 feet tall like Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he got like, so Spencer Strider last year worth 5.5 wins above replacement, right? He pitched 32 games, so started every game, won 20 of them, but he only went 186 innings in 32 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to let the kid loose.
You get 20 more innings out of him?
Yeah.
You're looking at a guy touching 8 in wins above replacement, yeah, probably? I mean, like,
with the amount of strikeouts he gets, right, yeah, for right, sure.
And if he improves the way he does, you know, normally, like, or just or if he improves the way you would just expect someone growing to improve, he's only 25, 24. I think he turns 25 this year if he is not already. And honestly, the only thing he has to do is, I mean, his homers per nine shot up a bunch, but yeah, he's very close to putting up a just insane season.
Yeah. I mean, look, but if he becomes more efficient, then, you know, we're talking about some of these older wins above replacement seasons that we saw in the 90s. Now everybody was on steroids and shit, but there was some 10s and 11s out there, I think, from Curt Schilling 1 year when he had more wins than walks.
Yeah.
I think Randy Johnson had one. I think Pedro had one that was like 10.3 or something like that. I don't know if we're going to get to something that high, to be honest.
No.
Because that's like, that's start to finish dominance. You just don't see that shit very much anymore.
And honestly, it's at this point probably asking a lot for him to get higher than essentially 200 innings. Only five people in the major leagues threw 200 innings last year.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That is weird to me. I mean,
in fact, Spencer Strider was still in the top 20 of innings pitched last year.
Yeah. I think they should let him. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but Tom House and Nolan Ryan used to say that your arm will rust before it wears out.
Right.
And Tom House didn't do much in Major League Baseball. He was like a lefty reliever or some shit, but Nolan Ryan did. And granted, he's a freak, but he wasn't just a freak. Like he had a severe, he snapped the tendon in his forearm in his second season in the league, mm-hmm, and had to miss the whole year. Came back. He didn't have any major injuries after that because he started taking it seriously and working out all the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was just he's not LeBron. He's a big dude for sure, but he wasn't built like that. I don't know. I feel like the fact that Strider generates most of his power with his legs,
yeah, yeah,
is probably a good thing. Just let that motherfucker throw 110 pitches a game and see what happens. Just let him go. It's very irritating to see guys get pulled out.
What was the when Donnie Dust was on the show the other day, that spear he was throwing where it had
Adelon.
Like, what?
Adelon.
Okay. That is kind of like Spencer Strider, right? Mm. Like Spencer Strider, because it's a two-piece thing, you put the dart in the Adelon, I think is the thing it's called. I feel like his legs are like the Adelon, and his arm and ball, they're like the dart. Like he's not really using the arm. I mean, he is, obviously, but like you said, the power is coming from the power is coming from the fucking legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's creating massive leverage there. Physics. So we'll see. I don't know. I feel like if you look over the last 25 years at the league leader in innings pitched, it is dropping precipitously and for no reason, in my opinion. Like we don't have more better pitchers than we had before. We have
right.
We have better pitchers than we've had, maybe, or guys at least throwing harder and with more movement.
Yeah.
But we don't have more pitchers that are better.
So I just picked a random year from the 90s. Last year, five dudes threw over 200 innings. In 1990, what'd I do? 7, 43. 43 guys threw 200 innings or more in 1997.
And how many was it this year?
5.
That's not great.
No.
That's kind of embarrassing.
I mean, the leaders were... I don't remember who Pat Hentgen is.
Pat Hinken. He was a starting pitcher for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Him and Clemens on the Blue Jays both threw 264. Smoltz came in third at 256. And then RIP Daryl Kyle, 255.2. Yeah, I mean, all these, even Pedro. Pedro's fucking like fragile ass, 241.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were all on fucking roids, so whatever.
Yeah, but I mean,
they recover better.
Look, you know who was never on steroids? Tom Glavine, 240 innings.
Maybe. He also wasn't throwing very hard.
No.
But who knows? I don't know, man. I feel like you're not doing. I don't think there's. Some people think of your arm like a heart. Like there's only so many beats in your heart, right?
Yeah.
So work out, keep your blood pressure and heart rate low. It'll elongate, improve your life, whatever the fuck. I don't think it's true that there's only so many throws in your arm. You know what I mean?
Agree with that.
Like especially not with modern medicine and shit. I don't know.
By the way, you know who else was on this list of over 200 innings pitched that I just randomly
in 97?
Yeah.
Kevin Brown, Greg Maddux,
all those guys,
Randy
all
Johnson,
those guys.
Curt Schilling, pretty much everybody who was good.
That well, wasn't there was that a gentleman, year. I'm trying to figure out if it's the same. Yes. Yeah. Okay. One of the guys who threw 200 innings. A man named Bobby Witt Sr.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for the Royals probably, right?
Rangers.
Rangers, I mean, yeah. Yeah, he was there for a while.
Yeah, 200 innings.
But he was, see, that's the thing. What was his ERA that year? It was over four, right?
I'm sure it was bad. Let me check, though. So Bobby Witt in 97, 4.82 ERA. So they were just like, it's your game, bitch. Get out there and win it.
Yeah. Well,
is what it is.
We live in a different kind of world now. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I got except for RIP Chappie, you know.
Who?
Chappie, man. He's gone.
The robot?
No, motherfucker. Iron Eagle?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're talking about that on the main show today. For Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. See you later.